Now, I think it's true to say most of us know St. Maximian Kolbe for the hero that he is in virtue of offering his life in Auschwitz to replace a married man. And it was very beautiful when this happened. And St. Maximian realized that even by stepping out of line at Auschwitz, you were already condemned to death. Any prisoner that stepped out of line already lost his life. That he steps out of line, he's not sure that his life will be received, accepted, in exchange for the married man who was one of 10 who were to be in a hunger bunker because of the escape of some of the other individuals from Auschwitz. But when the German commandant said, "Who are you?" he didn't answer with his number. He didn't answer with St. Maximilian. He said, "I am a Catholic priest." And how perfectly that reflects what priesthood is supposed to be, one who set aside to offer the sacrifice. Sometimes it's Jesus, but it's always him. He has to be the sacrifice. So St. Maximilian is rightfully known as one of the greatest saints of the 20th century. Less known about St. Maximilian is his great battle against Freemasonry. And today we're going to talk about why St. Maximilian had such a call to lead a force of prayer, a spiritual movement against Freemasonry, and how intimately that is involved with his understanding of the Blessed Mother, because ultimately, it's Mary that crushes the head of Freemasonry. And we'll delve into a little bit of St. Maximilian's profound Mariology, which was not just an ivory tower Mariology. It wasn't just for Mariologists or theologians. This was an idea of the Blessed Mother that led to action, that led to consecration, that led to evangelization. And St. Maximilian had as his goal nothing short of conquering the universe and returning the universe to Jesus through Mary. He aimed high, and he calls us to aim high. And that will also be the remedy. Our Lady will be the remedy against the errors of Freemasonry. But let's go back to St. Maximilian before he was even Father Maximilian. As a brother, he studied in Rome, and on one day he was returning after classes. He was passing by St. Peter's Basilica, and he saw in the piazza, in the square of St. Peter's, a huge rally. What was the rally? It was a rally of Freemasons, and they had banners which read, quote, "Satan must reign in the Vatican." Another banner read, quote, "The Pope will be his slave." This is the level of attack, proximate, direct attack against the Catholic Church that is sadly a true dimension of Freemasonry. Well, this brother Maximilian on that occasion came back and said these words, quote, "In the face of such attacks of the enemies of the Church of God, are we to remain inactive? No. Every one of us has a holy obligation to personally hurl back the assaults of this foe." And therefore, in October of 1917, on the 200th year anniversary of the start of Freemasonry, back in 1717, Brother Maximilian begins the Militiae Immaculatae, the Army of the Immaculate. And this army had as one of its major goals to have a spiritual battle, a movement of prayer and action against the evil of Freemasonry. Now, years later, St. Maximilian would say this about Freemasonry, quote, "This mortal hatred for the Church of Jesus Christ and for his vicar was not just a prank on the part of deranged individuals, but a systematic action proceeding from the principle of Freemasonry. Destroy all religion, whatever it may be, especially the Catholic religion." Now, is this just the particular sensitivities of one saint? Is this position of St. Maximilian unique to him? We will find, my friends, that Pope after Pope after Pope have outrightly condemned Freemasonry, and they've told us why. And I want to start with a most recent statement, because some might say, well, this is St. Maximilian, it's the 1920s, things have changed. They appear to me to be a social club. They have hospitals. They do good things for children. Could there be exaggeration here? Is perhaps an outdated view of the church or an outdated view of this organization really at the root of this problem? Well, the church responds to those questions, no, this is not a question of being outdated. It's the very nature and fiber of this organization. And I want to say right at the beginning of our talk, our goal here is not to have a hatred of Masons. Quite the contrary. Our goal is to save Masons. And the way we save Masons is by giving them the truth of Jesus Christ in the heart of the church through consecration to Our Lady. And that will be St. Maximilian's goal as well. That's ultimately the remedy. She, as she was in the early church, the crusher of heresies, the queen against heresies, these are expressions of Our Lady from the first 7 centuries of the church, she does the same now. She particularly defends the truth of Jesus and the truth of the church because she's mother of that church. So I want to read to you a 1983 declaration on Masonic associations. This is a statement which was released by the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith on November 26th of 1983. And I want to read through this and just offer you a few comments for understanding. But one thing is very clear, that anyone participating in Freemasonry is in the state of grave sin and cannot receive the sacraments. And the church says that about few individuals. Oftentimes the church will say, this is an objectively evil act, and if you are knowledgeable about this, there's at least some dimension of explanation. Here the church is saying, if you are a Catholic participating in Masonry, you are in grave sin. So let me read this statement from the Congregation, again dated November 26, 1983. And I quote, it has been asked whether the position of the church in regard to Freemasonry has been changed by reason of the fact that there is no express mention of the same in the new Code of Canon Law, 1983, as there was in the previous code, the 1917 code. This congregation is able to reply that the circumstance indicated is due to an editorial policy which has been followed in regard to other associations as well, which have likewise not been mentioned inasmuch as they are included in broader categories. For this reason, therefore, the negative position of the church in regard to Masonic associations remains unchanged, since their basic principles have always been considered irreconcilable with the teachings of the church, and consequently, membership in them remains forbidden. Now, what was that element about the old code and the new code? Well, in the 1917 code, Masonry was expressly condemned and prohibited. And then in the 1983 code, it wasn't, because it was contained in the broader category. But some people questioned whether there was in fact a change and petitioned Rome and asked the Vatican for information. That's why the congregation is saying, no, no, no change in policy. It's in its condemnation of general sects, Masonry is included. And that's why that whole anticipatory comment about the old code. Now, the statement goes on to say, the faithful who belong to Masonic associations are in a state of grave sin and may not receive Holy Communion. Further, it is not within the competence of local diocesan church authorities to pass judgment on the nature of Masonic associations in such a way as to derogate from what has been established above. This is in line with the declaration of the congregation issued February 17, 1981. What does that mean? That means no bishop or local church authority can say, well, we think that Masonry in our area is really okay. We find that they've been, you know, joining us with activities. Whatever the reason be, Rome is saying you can't do that because it is organically disordered. It is organically in a mode which, as you will hear in the words of Leo XIII, something that can only be seen as having a diabolical origin. That's how strong the church is about Freemasonry. So no local church authority could argue with this or, most of all, not follow it. Finally, the Supreme Pontiff, John Paul II, in the course of the audience granted to the undersigned Cardinal Prefect, approved the present declaration, which was decided upon in the ordinary meeting of the Sacred Congregation and has ordered its publication. Rome, November 26, 1983, Joseph Cardinal Ratzinger, Prefect.